I'm Brenda Dennehy.
I'm Julie Haynes.
And this is Left on Red.
In May 2022, Natasha O'Brien was walking home after work when she was violently assaulted by a serving member of the Irish Defence Forces.
Her attacker fled the scene immediately after and later boasted about the incident on social media to his friends.
The court was told he initially tried to blame the victim for what happened.
But after being shown CCTV footage of the incident, he admitted that his account of the event was all wrong.
He has never given a full explanation for the assault. In our chat with Natasha today, she talks us through what happened on that awful night.
How the justice system let her and countless other victims of gender-based violence down.
And how she's now fighting for cultural, social and legislative change for all victims of violence. Resources will be listed in the show notes for this episode.
Okay, and on that note, I actually have Natasha in studio with me. We're in Cork and Brenda's actually joining us through Zoom. She's in London. She's at home. Natasha, thank you so much for coming in to chat to us.
Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute powerhouse, girl. We're so, so proud of you. But bring us back to that night, because I'm hearing so much about it, but the actual story itself and what happened, I don't know a whole lot, to be honest, about it.
I mean, there's so many different articles and clips and whatnot everywhere, and they're all wanting to know different things, but like I've actually haven't got an opportunity just to talk about the story. I was working in the Black Rabbit Limerick. It's a student bar. I was doing bits and bobs there, social media, but I also did a bit of bar work sometimes. And myself and my friend Shauna, we were going to go, I was just finished my shift, so we went over the road, got a bit of pizza, and we said we'll go off and get a taxi home together, because her boyfriend only lives around the corner from me, so it makes sense. Two girls alone, better off getting a taxi together, better off walking down a dark street together, kind of. You know yourself.
How old are you actually?
I'm 24.
And when the attack happened, you were how old?
I was 22 at the time.
So, 22. Okay, so go on, you were.
Yeah, so we were just kind of walking away, chatting away, and then we just kind of noticed a group of lads in front of us. We were on the main street of Limerick, O'Connell Street, at this point. And there's about five or six of them, and they all looked like they were about 20, 21, harmless young fellas, but they were just roaring across the road at this young lad by himself, and they were just screaming like proper aggressive like slurs, like, you know, like the F word, you know, that for like homophobic, like, you know, I'm not going to say it, like, but you know, they just repeatedly over and over again. So that's even what brought us to like notice them in the first place. And so we didn't even think about it. We were kind of just walking up past them, and like naturally we were just like, ah, lads, come on now. Don't be like, Shauna was actually the first one to say something, but sure, I was behind her, so I got the front of it then. Yeah.
So you stopped these lads. So there's about four or five of them shouting absolutely awful comments to the guy across the road for no reason. Basically just went up and said, lads, come on, stop with the name calling, leave this poor lad alone.
But like, we weren't even like going over to them. Like, we were just walking kind of past them and like passing comment, like, you know, like, I just didn't think it was right. Shauna didn't think it was right. We didn't want to be waking up the next day and reading a headline that some young fella was beat to death. Like, and I'm not saying that I knew that was going to happen, but you know when you have a gut feeling and you're just like, there's something wrong going on here. And Jesus, if I don't say something now, like, what's good? Like, you know, I didn't want to think of the worst that could have happened. Yeah. So just very, like, we didn't even think about it, just walking past. Ah, come on now. Do you know, just to try to maybe de-escalate it, you know, be very, saying it very normal. Like, I wasn't like, don't you be doing that now, Jenny.
Yes.
You know, like, it wasn't like a big deal. And yeah, I got the brunt of it then.
Can you remember what happened?
Shauna was up past them.
Okay.
And I was behind her. And one of them just kind of like, his eyes latched onto me. And your man who attacked me, he just had it out for me. You know, he came towards me. He was roaring things at me. I remember he was going, you're probably a dirty lesbian. And like, just like, I was like, what is wrong with this man? Like, and then he grabbed me by the head of hair and started baiting into me, punching me, into the face.
How many punches did he give you?
Well, he punched me six times into the same kind of place on my face.
Oh my God.
Smashed my nose in, you know, my eye was all closed up. And then it was the sixth punch then that just punched me off my feet and I slapped my head off the concrete then.
And at that stage, so you were on the floor?
On the floor. And Shauna, now at this point, she said it just happened so fast. Like, she turned around and he was already like grabbing onto me and like going at me. And she just was like frozen in fear, like a deer in headlights, like just did not know what to do.
Of course.
Was like so terrified. She said it was like all her, like my life flashed before her eyes almost. Like, she was like, oh my God, what's going on right now? Is my friend going to die in front of me? Like, and she just started screaming for help at the top of her lungs. Like,
so Natasha, what I'm wondering is, so you had your friend there, the individual who attacked you, had he friends around with him? And I'm also wondering, people on the street, because obviously, you know, by human nature, any of us see someone getting a slap or get fighting on the street, we all stop and we look around and some people in, like myself and Julie, would probably try to intervene and stop it. Can you kind of tell us like about that?
Yeah. So there was, so when I was kind of saying to Julie, like when I hit the ground, Shauna then was like just frozen in fear, and she was watching all his friends just staring. They could see her reaction, they could see her screaming for help, they could see her bawling, crying as I'm on the floor screaming please stop. And they were just, she just told me they absolutely did absolutely nothing. They ended up just walking away.
How many of them were there, did you say?
There was a group of about five or six, so there was either four or five of them watching.
Okay, just standing there watching whilst you're on the floor, yeah, absolutely screaming,
getting
crying
mauled, like,
yeah, by this guy. And they, a group of men.
Yeah, like he literally got down on the floor after he slammed my head off the concrete ground, like. And Shauna said that like he was like enthralled with me, and she couldn't even make out where I was and where he ended. Like, do you know?
Was he down on the floor with you?
Yeah, he got
attacking.
He got straight down on the floor with me and kept going and going and going and going. Like, I was just like, do you know? Everyone here is six punches.
Yeah,
that was six punches while I was standing up. And then I slapped off the floor, and then he was down on the floor going, and I don't know, because I was only able to give the statement that I remember there were six. I cannot say what, how many there were when I was on that ground, do you know, because I was losing consciousness at that point. All I remember being like, it was like, please stop.
Did you try and defend yourself to kind of, you know, attack him back, like to, with your hands, like even
like
shove him away? What did you do?
I remember when he grabbed me by the head of hair originally, like he was coming towards me, and I was kind of like trying to like, I just got a fright, like, because I was just not expecting it. And I was kind of like, I think I was like putting my hands up as he was coming towards me, but he just like grabbed me by the head of hair and just started laying into me. And I feel like I probably tried to push him away or something, but he just had such a strong hold on me, and they were just coming so fast and so hard that like I was probably all, you know, I was just stunned.
Your body,
like,
went into shock.
Yeah, my body just went into shock. Like, I didn't even have time to defend myself.
Of course. And so whilst all this was going on, the lads were just, all his friends were just standing there watching. Your poor friend was in an awful heap. How did it eventually stop?
So she was, she didn't want to, like, she was also like, Natasha, I'm literally about 5 foot nothing. Yeah. This fella is towering over me, and I'm not a small girl, like, I'm 5 foot ten. So she was like, I'm no good to ya. And I was just standing there, like, if I try to do something, he might hurt her more,
yeah,
or I'll be out in the ground too, and then I can't help her at all.
She was in an awful situation. Yeah. Like, she was by herself while you were on the floor,
and
there was
four or five lads there. Yeah.
So she try to intervene, she was probably nervous that these lads, they would start attacking her.
Yeah,
she was in an awful situation.
So thank God now, some, like, this is about 50 metres now down the road. It's a busy street, and there were loads of people when I woke up, like, but I don't really remember there being many people when he, like, laid into me. Some fella, he ran down the road.
He could hear all the commotion.
He heard Shauna roaring at the top of her lungs for help, and he sprinted down at the, like, Shauna said he just came like the speed of light, like straight down, pulled him off me. And then most of the friends had kind of gone away at this point, but there was one of Cahill's friends left, like. And then there's actually a video of this. I don't have some of the evidence, but I do have this one.
Where did the picture come from? Sorry, now, was it CCTV or was it some pastor buyer?
So the CCTV is like in possession of the, you know, the Gardaí have all that for evidence. Yeah. So I don't know, like, I could ask them for it, but I don't know because my case is still open for appeal.
Okay.
Whatever, like, as if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's open for appeal, so I don't think I can get it until it's at definitely closed. Like, yeah.
But did you see anyone who was filming you? You know, the way there's a fight or anything like that, people standing.
Yeah, so there was actually, what happened was when I was kind of, people started to realise and come over then. And like, as I am waking up, I'm literally just surrounded by people. I just open my eyes and Shauna's face is like looking over me like bawling, crying. And then there's a load of other people, just nosy buddies, like, but do you know what I mean? But they all wanted to say I was okay too. Like, but they were like, what's going on? What's this? Like, do you know? But they were all like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was kind of like just waking up and I didn't even know what was going on at that point. But then a few lads came over and they were like, and I actually knew them, but they didn't realise it was, like, they didn't know it was me until they came over. And they were like, they texted me then the following day and they sent me on a video that they had taken. And they were like, Natasha, I didn't know it was you. Like, I was just taking a video, like, and the second I saw it was you, I was like, oh my God. And we ran over then to you. But I have that video that I'd probably release it, but I'm still debating. But yeah, I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Did you have to use that as evidence?
Yeah, I sent it all. Well, that wasn't played. That wasn't shown to the judge. They used the CCTV for that because that video is only like the aftermath. It's just your man. Yeah, it's your man who pulled him off me, who saved me, like, who basically saved my life. Like, I believe he did. Like, and they're roaring across the street, and then you can, in the video I have, you can just hear one of the lads that was recording it going, Jesus, she's on bits on the floor.
Like, which you were.
I was.
And this was their attitude. So feckin' what did I hit a woman?
Yeah, like, your man was like, what is wrong with you? And he was like, so what? Like, just didn't give it, did not care.
And did the two of them just walk away then? The attacker and his friend?
Yeah, like, everyone was more concerned with me.
Of course, yeah.
Was so I alive and was I okay?
Away. Yeah.
So they just kind of ran away.
And then I suppose an ambulance was called.
Well, there was a patrol car then coming around the corner while there was a load of commotion around me. Yeah. So someone flagged them down and, you know, they came out and Shauna, they were like asking me my name and my age and my birthday and my address and I couldn't even answer. Shauna had to tell them because I was so concussed. I was like, huh? You know, I didn't know what was going on.
Of course,
all over the place. But like, I remember sitting. I was sitting in the corner and out of Brown Thomas because this is like Main Street Limerick. Mm. So the guards told me that I could go into the back of their car, like, to wait for the ambulance. But I was just so traumatized, I didn't want to even move. I was just like curled up in a corner, and I was like, no. And I remember Shauna was. I was like, Shauna, do you think my nose is broken? Like, it's smashed in. Like, it's like wonky, it's gone sideways, like my eye is already starting to close up, like, and there's a big lump on my head and all scrapes and stuff all over me. And she was like, it might be, and I was like, oh my God, but I'm going to Billie Eilish next week. That's all I cared about at the time. I was like, sure, am I supposed to go do my makeup if my nose is broken? Like, I can't do I was just fuming.
Your body was just in shock. Yeah. I know.
I was fuming. I was like, this Egypt after ruining my concert that I've been waiting for over a year, and I was going to have a hooly at Billie, and now I'm going to have to be worried about my nose. Like,
That was like, your concern sitting there at the moment.
It hadn't even hit me. Like, I was just such in shock that I was like, my nose.
And then eventually an ambulance came along.
After 2 hours.
Oh, you were sitting there for 2 hours.
I was sitting out on the, in the like corner of Brown Thomas, because they were closed, like, but I was just in the like entrance.
Yeah.
And for 2 hours, like, and people were just walking by, and so, are you all right, love? And like, you know, just, Limerick City,
And eventually, then the ambulance came, brought you to hospital, and what, like, what happened in the A&E? Then what did, you had the broken nose.
Ambulance were fab, handed me over to, you know, they have to do like a handover when you go into the emergency department, and they just brought me through and out to like the general public waiting area. This is like 3 o'clock now, and 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, so Saturday night going into Sunday, like, after a big, I don't know, I was at a Liverpool match or something, like, the place was full, and everyone was just, there was loads of people just walking around, roaring around the place in blood, and It was horrific. Yeah. And at this point now, it's starting to set in. And the shock is like, and the pain, I can just, I'm like numb, but I just, my ears are ringing, my eyes are blurry, like I'm getting black. Oh no, it was horrible. Like I was just like, I was freezing and just in, like having a panic attack. And then I kind of, after like about 4 or 5 hours, I was like what's going on? Like I was like, I couldn't even see properly. I was like, I have a serious head injury. Like I know there's something seriously wrong, because I still couldn't, like I was still trying to remember things and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Like I just felt like there was this black of, and I like trying to, when I tried to think, like I just couldn't even think.
Go so you were there on it for hours, and they.
I went off home.
Oh, did you go? Did you sign yourself out? Like
I didn't. I just walked out. I just couldn't. I was like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit there. I was just like, I actually don't care if I'm going to drop dead now from a brain injury. I'm not staying here anymore.
Yeah.
And then like my mum drove me in then to another hospital the following morning, like a few
your
hours.
Mom, but like when you went home, you knocked at the door, you opened the door, and your mum, like your mum, I'm a mother, so to see my young girl coming in the state that you were in, your poor mum.
Yeah.
She must have gone off her fright.
Yeah, she kind of, I don't think she didn't even realise what had happened. Like she was like, she knew I got attacked or whatever, I got it, but I don't think, like, you know, she
didn't hit her either.
It didn't hit her either, I suppose she went into shock as well, but she did, like, force, I just went up to the bed and I just, like, curled up and I was just crying and crying, like, and she dragged me out of the bed anyway and brought me back to the hospital, and then I had to, it was just in and out and this doctor and that doctor, and I had to go to, like, the ENT for my nose and like and then after 3 weeks, then I've said this a few times, but I like was getting like really bad. I was like vomiting constantly and like blacking out, and my vision was just so blurry, and like I was ringing in my ears and getting migraines really severe. So my doctor like rushed me out to get a brain CT scan in case there was like a brain bleed or any brain injury, like, but they're like, thank God now they didn't find anything. But like, I mean, that went on for 3 months.
In and out of hospital so for 3 solid months.
And I was I was constantly suffering with like kind of concussions, and do you know, like that long lasting concussion where you're just getting like vomiting and like all that like head injury stuff. Oh, it was horrible. Like I was like, oh my God, am I going to drop dead? Like,
and that was you physically then, but like mentally, like were you nervous walking down the street like on your own? Were you sleeping at night? Were you getting flashbacks? Like, what way was your mind those couple of weeks?
Oh my God, like I just tried to like just distance myself, like, and just I just tried to keep myself like hibernate. I tried to go into hibernation, really. Like, I just like didn't want to, like, I just was like, I don't want to look, think about anything. I don't want to, like, I would be up all night, like, and I'd be getting, you know, like any time I'd like step out of the house and like I'd see a man, and he was like a similar height, similar hair color, like maybe not even, I just immediately see his face, like I just like
would you have a bit of a panic attack, like?
Yeah, like I'd be looking for his face everywhere, like I just was so like just always so jumpy and so on edge, and like just like couldn't even walk into a shop without like hiding behind the door, like looking in, making sure he's not in there, like
sure.
Yeah, it was just like
I'm just wondering then, when was it that you officially made the statement to the Gardaí about the assault?
Yeah, I didn't even want to, like, I was just like, I don't want to think about it. I just was like in denial, like I just was like, oh my God, like I don't even want to, I can't cope at all. But after I had that like brain bleed scare about three weeks after, my mum just like literally wouldn't let me go home. She just like drove down to the station and was like, go in. And I was like screaming at her. I was like, I'm not going in, like. And she was like, go in now. And I just would not. I think we sat in the car for about an hour. Like, I was like, oh my God. I couldn't, like. But she like walked me in then. And I had
What were you scared of? Was it
reliving it, having to think about it? I just didn't want to, like, I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to relive it. I just wanted to forget about it. I just wanted to forget that it ever happened, and I couldn't. And it was like, it was constant. Like, it was just flashing back all the time, and I was on edge all the time. But I still wanted to just like pretend none of it was ever real. Like,
I was trying to suppress it and keep pushing it under the rug.
Do you think if your mom hadn't told you to do it, would you have made the statement? If your mom hadn't been so persistent, would you have made the statement ever?
Oh my God, she was a nightmare. Every second of every day, are you going in to make the statement? When are you going in to make the statement? Yeah. And I was just like, please leave me alone. I don't want to, like, I was like, I just don't want to do it. And she was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. And I was just like, so like, if she hadn't been like this, just pain in the back of my head constantly, like, just go, do it. She just wouldn't leave me alone. So eventually I just had no choice. Like,
but. And did you know it was caught? Like, how, like, when you went in there, did you just say a young fella, or did you have an idea at that stage who he was? Did it come to your attention? Because look, Cork is small, Limerick is small. Mm. We all have mutual friends and stuff.
Mm.
Did you know by then that it was him, and did you have a name? Or how did all this come about?
The power of social media.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know this, but go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I will say. Geez, social media is what happened there. Myself and Shauna spent just weeks going through anyone and everyone that was of similar age. That was like, so like every male that we could find, like in all, just like, oh my God, it was just non-stop looking through every pictures, you know, yeah. pictures, and like, I never forget that face. I will never ever forget the look in his eyes as he like came towards me and was like roaring at me and went to grab onto me. Like, you know, that's not something that like will ever leave me. You know, that's something that stays with you.
Yeah.
So the second I saw his face, I knew immediately. And the worst part of it was that we found him on Visco, and it was a photo of him in his uniform.
What's Visco?
It was around for like a few years, and it's like, it's kind of like an Instagram, but you can't comment and you can't see likes.
So you just post pictures.
Yeah.
And you're on that going through
like just everything. And then, well, we were going through for like Facebook, Instagram, but then we ended up on Visco, and like we found, and I saw him standing there in his uniform. Like,
your jaw must have just dropped to see that he was.
We were just like... Like, yeah. There's just, oh my God, I was speechless. But like, I was like, now I know, now I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. No wonder he did so much damage, or he had special combat training.
And tell us so about the night you went to the guards and you made your statement.
Yeah.
Was that an ordeal in itself, or was it...
I mean, they had the CCTV at that point,
because
I had taken so long to even go in that they had like everything except my statement.
Yeah.
But I was just so afraid, like, so then like they were able to immediately, like, between the CCTV and the photo I had, and they even like asked me like details about him before showing me any CCTV. Yeah. And I was able to like, you know, describe him to the colour of his t-shirt and the shoes he was wearing, and you know, like his kind of general height and stuff like that. So they were really able to like, oh yeah, we have him.
They were able to pinpoint him using the CCTV footage as well.
Mm.
And what happened after that then?
Yeah, it was just waiting around. I was told that they ended a few, I think it was like a month or two later, that they got a warrant for his arrest. Eventually. And we saw his girlfriend posting photos of them on holidays the following day after he done it to me. Like,
went on holidays with the girlfriend the following day. And living his best life on
living
holidays whilst you're up in A&E all
life.
Night long.
Living his best life.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. God.
Mm.
And tell me, actually, before we move any further, there was another incident where he was on a Snapchat with his friends.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tell us that.
Oh, that's lovely. Got another anonymous tip off that about that one. A friend of a friend kind of said, you know Natasha, don't you? Well, we know something about something that went on in a Snapchat group chat. And you know, so they had already taught me that by the time I went to the guards too. Like, so when I went to the guards, like, I was like, and when you do arrest him, you'd want to check his Snapchat. And he was like, okay.
And he was loving it, was he?
Loving it. And he was like, yeah, two to put her down, two to put her out. Oh. So, and he was just like being the hard man. Oh yeah, two to put her down, two to put her out. Like, and it was so funny for them. It was just entertaining.
Except for one lad though, because one lad then stepped back and I think he said it to his girlfriend. And did his girlfriend say to you then that he was very uncomfortable in the group with your man speaking?
I think there have been a few there's obviously Limerick is a small town and like there's been people like show that like have just been like, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with him anymore. Like, okay. Oh my God, the second I found out about what he did, like, no, oh my God, what the hell, like, do you know? Yeah. So there's been a lot of people that are just like, okay, I don't really like, do you know, they don't want to associate with him now after that. Like, they're like, that's not what I wouldn't ever like condone that kind of thing.
Absolutely,
but it was just...
So that's how it got back to you. So one of the lads was in the group chat and did he take a screenshot of it or something?
I don't know. I think it was...
Or was more word of mouth kind of a thing?
It was more word of mouth. It was just like... And I was like, look, it might not be true. I said it to the guard. I was like, I don't know. Mm. I haven't seen anything. Yeah. I've just heard that there has been something said.
Yeah.
And then he then went onto the Snapchat or whatever. Maybe they had to get a warrant from Snapchat company themselves, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I think they did, like, but they found them anyway.
And they found two to put her out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wrote into the Snapchat, into the lads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And then when did you get the date for the court case? Can you remember the date that you
were going
ahead? Like...
Oh my God, I was coming down to Becky Hill in Cork last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was on Friday 2 weeks ago, and the day before, Thursday, the detective, my Garda, who was dealing with me, rings me, haven't heard now from him in about a good year and a half. And he was like, oh yeah, just to let you know now, he's up for sentencing next Wednesday. Like, I had five, six days, do you know?
To prepare yourself.
Yeah.
So that's all they gave you. It was like five or 6 days.
Yeah.
And you were on your way down to Becky Hill that day? Oh, you were, there was
yeah,
a day
it was like, it was the night before.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh my God, do you know? Cause it was just like, I just couldn't even, like my head just went spinning. Okay. My head went spinning.
And at that stage, there was no contact, no apology, no nothing.
Nothing, nothing.
So then the court came around the following week.
Mm.
So tell us what happened there.
Yeah, so like I didn't sleep for days. Like I was just up all night. Like I don't think I even sent the guard I was dealing with, he had to print out the victim impact statement to have it before the hearing. And I didn't email it to him till 5 o'clock in the morning, and like he had to print it out at 8 o'clock that morning. So like I just couldn't. It was just so difficult. I was writing like one sentence every few hours, like it was horrible. But I also wanted to I was trying to just remember everything.
Yeah.
I was trying to like bring myself back to the moment, back to like trying to really remember like every single thing I felt, and like physical, mental, like every bit effect, because I was like, what he did was not okay, and I didn't even expect there to be a court case. Like I thought it was gotten thrown out, like I hadn't heard anything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's getting sentenced, and I was like, oh my God, I can be hopeful now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Oh,
it was a mix of emotions, I suppose.
Yeah,
for you
it
as
was
well.
Like, do you know, like it was like I was like, my friend like was with me, and she was like, "Are you happy?" And I was like, "I wouldn't say happy is the word. Like, I'm like surprised. I'm like, there's a bit of hope there somewhere that like maybe like I can try to move on with my life now, and maybe like things are gonna start getting better, because you know they've just been going downhill really, since then, But so I kind of just put a little bit of hope, and I didn't have much now because I do be reading all the headlines.
Yeah.
And I'm watching all these peckers walking away just doing filthy, dirty things and getting away with it because someone important said they were a good lad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's what happened in your case.
Yeah. So I wasn't shocked. Like, I mean, I was horrified. I was sitting there. Because I went up to do my victim impact statement, like, oh my God, like, it was horrible. It was so horrible. I just, I remember seeing him, like, sitting outside the court with his mum, and I was, I was with like a victim support, a court volunteer, because I was like afraid to, like I didn't know what was going on. I'd never even been in a court before in my whole life. And so they like met me outside and like we walked in and stuff. And like he was kind of like sitting like in the courthouse, but not in the courtroom. So I was like, I just like saw him out of the corner of my eyes. So I was just like, I'm just going to go straight into the courtroom. So I sat in there for about 2 or 3 hours like.
And then ye were called and ye all went in. And
well, I was sitting there anyway.
You were sitting there anyway. He was called, so he was brought in. Did he look at you or anything?
I don't know, because I literally couldn't even look at him. Like, I couldn't, like, I was like, see, like, I could see him in the corner of my eyes sitting in that kind of box that, so that defendants have to be in. But I was just like trying to like, they kind of, they want the victim support, a court volunteer kept being like, just focus on you, Natasha. You're here to tell your story. This isn't about him. This is about you. And this is about helping the judge to understand the effect this has had on you so he can decide on an appropriate sentence. That's why you're here, to help with the course of justice. You're here to share the impact and just focus on you. And this is your story, nobody else's. Mm. So I was kind of just like, and like, I would be like this and like, I wouldn't be breathing and like, I'd be going purple and she'd be like, take a deep breath. But it was, and then I got called up then and I had to like walk up around beside him like, and
I see to walk past him.
I was like holding the piece of paper with the statement and I was like shaking like, and I was just like, and I had the, I had my gammy leg like, because I had a, I only I fell down the stairs on the week before and absolutely destroyed my leg like.
So your leg was in a boot, wasn't it?
A boot. Yeah. I only took it off today, but my mum was like, why'd you take it off? You still can't walk. Like, it's, but I'm just sick of the boot. Like, it's sore, like, but it's grand. But I was going up on the boot and everything. I was mortified. Like, I just felt like it's horrible. And I went up then and I like had to put my hand on the book and like do the oath. And like, I couldn't even hear the words your man was saying to me, like, to be like, you have to repeat this oath about, you know, and I was like, oh, I was just, I everything was like spinning and I just sat down and I just was like shaking and my voice was shaking and like, so I just kept like reading it out like word by word and just looking at the paper and I wasn't looking around and I was just, and then I finished and the judge looks down at me and he looks down at me and I'm up and he's like, Miss, I understand the impact this has had on you, you know. However, are you aware of how fortunate you are that the defendant took the guilty plea so early on and spared you suffering with a long and tedious trial? And like, you're not supposed to answer a judge back. Like, it's like what the judge says is gospel. And like, my mum was like, that was only a rhetorical question, Natasha, when I sat back down again. But I was like, I've been suffering for 2 long years. And I looked up at him and I was, I've been suffering for 2 long years. And I was just like,
oh no.
I was like, the only reason he took the guilty plea is because they had him on CCTV doing it.
Yeah.
He, in his original statement, before he was aware there was evidence, he lied and he told, had a completely different story. And he then had to change his tune when he saw the evidence.
And as well, he never actually gave an explanation as to why he actually did it.
Did he apologise in court?
And
his barrister was like, oh, the defendant would like to extend his most sincere apologies to the victim. Oh, whatever, like, I didn't even listen.
He didn't say anything, like, yeah.
And I was just like stunned, like stunned.
I've an interesting question. Do you think the sentence would have been different if it was a female judge? Or would you have been treated better? There wouldn't have been those comments, more understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like all the judges are all from the same place and they all have a lot. There are some good judges, but a lot of them seem to have the same attitude. And like, since I've come forward with my story, I have had so many people come forward to me with so many horrible stories about different things, that how they've been treated by judges all around the place. Like, so I think it's just a problem. It's a problem with all, like, not all, but a lot.
Like, you weren't the first and you most certainly won't be the last, which is that's why you're using,
that's why I'm
now,
like, and that's why when people are like, oh, would you get over it, like, you know, like, look, you've told your story, I'm like, if I shut up about this and people forget about this, sure, it's just going to happen. It's like, and it will happen again. But like, if I don't use now the platform that I have been given and I have support, people are telling me, don't stop talking, just keep talking, yeah, just keep going, just keep pushing. And it's exhausting. Like, do you know, like I was, but it's like, it's just so important to just keep running my mouth, because I will fight with my words, not my fists.
And you were, and come where the nation is behind you. Were you surprised by the nation's reaction? Did you expect for this to happen?
No, Jesus, no. I was only giving out about some smelly judge, like, and also the commanding officer that stood up when I sat down and went, you know, this is very out of character. He's been an exemplary, mannerly, courteous soldier. You know, I was so shocked to hear this. Like, what business does he have going up there knowing that judge is going to be listening to him? Because I'm that judge 100% valued what he said far more than what I said. You know what I mean? It was almost like I said, well, how would it have affected me? And then it was like this, up goes his commanding officer in the Irish Defence Force to be like, but actually, he's actually like this and that, and this is the way. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, it felt like, it was like I was being attacked, like.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, yeah. And they were like, trying to, like, disregard my story, or like, do you know, belittle what I was saying.
He was nearly like the victim in there, wasn't it? Like they were all minding him and caring for him and defending him. Whilst, no, you're the one that had to live with this for the last 2 years. You were the one like attacked that night, but yet they were all in his corner.
They were still, like, they were minding him, like, he was, his career now, and, you know, the reason he was, like, do you know, the reason he didn't give him a custodial sentence and send him into jail, like, was because he didn't want to destroy his career in the army. Like, what about me? I haven't been working in a year. I've been so unwell. I've been so low mentally. Like, I haven't even been able to do the jobs that I used to absolutely adore, like.
Did you say all that as well in court?
I just said that, like, because of how much this impacted me mentally, I lost my jobs because of my performance. Like, I was, like, showing up late. I wasn't showing up. Like, I was just, like, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just, like, be like, nah, I'm not doing, I can't do anything today. I can't face anything today. And, like, I wouldn't even, like, text my boss to tell him I'm sick or whatever. Like, I was just, like, completely didn't want to live in the world. Like, just wanted to hide away and ignore everything, and it just kept getting worse and worse.
And like, you were obviously never like that before the attack. This all was after the attack.
No,
like, it just,
I was working two jobs. Like, I was working as a healthcare assistant in a retirement home for nuns.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Okay.
On the weekends. Yeah. And during the week, I was a social media marketing and event manager for a few different bars around Limerick.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I was like, I loved it. I was just super active, super like, go, 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 go.
And you're such a bubbly person, Natasha. You're always smiling, always laughing. Like, yeah. And thank God you still have that. But when you're on your own, I'm sure, like,
I think this week I'm getting me back.
Good, okay.
I think I felt so, like, hard done by, especially by the courts, like, and, you know, like, to have to be put through that, you know, like, that, like, I just get, like, I walking out of that court, I gave up on all hope for humanity, really, you know. But then, just the floods of support started coming in then the following day, and it was like, oh my God, I'm actually worth something. Like, obviously, I will never be the same after what happened to me. And I'm, oh my God, what happened to me in that courtroom. Oh my God. Do you know, I'll never, ever, ever, that'll never leave me. But, like, I'm really, like, just, my energy is, like, coming back. Like, because I know that I'm doing something that is so important. And I know I'm talking about something that is so important. And I know I'm raising awareness. And I'm trying to, like, even, like, you know, like, it's a huge issue with, like, gender-based violence and, like, women, you know. But, like, so many men get attacked and their attackers walk free too. Like, it's so bad. It's everywhere. And, like, so I have support coming from every angle, like, and people are just like, you're doing something good here, like. And so I kind of do feel like I'm kind of, like, slowly stepping back into myself and, like, finding myself and maybe finding a new version of myself.
A stronger version, probably.
Yeah. Really surprising myself.
Kind of advice for the likes of poor Ashley Murphy, who was murdered.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you want to be an advocate for, like,
absolutely,
as you were saying, gender-based violence and all that. So do you think you, in a way, like, what's after happening, you now, this is I suppose, giving you a different lease of life.
Oh my God.
After everything you've suffered, but now you're going to help so many women. You're going to bring change. You might even bring legislative change.
Oh, I will be. Well. I'm meeting with Harris and Mackenzie once my trial period is up. Like, I'm going back up, like, and meeting with them to be like, here, this is what you need to change here now. Do you know, I was up with Mary Lou McDonald on Tuesday up in the Dáil. And then, you know, they gave me a standing ovation up in the Dáil. And like, do you know what? That's crazy. I was honoured. Like, it was incredible. And there are some incredible TDs there that are fighting the good fight. Like, but like, do you know, it's like, I would like the ones that maybe aren't doing enough to remember that they stood up there in that chamber and gave me a standing ovation. And like, do you know, like, I appreciate it. I'm so grateful. But like, use that now and, you know, remember that. And come on, let's all do something. Like, how many more women, how many more men do you want to have to give standing ovations to for going through atrocities like this? Like, you know, it's not, you know, kind of thing. Like, just let me be the start of the change. And like, let's stop having more and more and more of this. Like, because I'm just sick of it. But like, even on a local level, I met the mayor yesterday and like, we like want to, you know, we want to tackle it in our community because that's what it's about. It's about community. Like, I'm the kind of person that I just like, so I'll talk to a wall. I'll talk to anyone. Yeah. And I've always been like that. I've always been like that. I'm just a chatterbox. And do you know, like, it's like, but I always like, you know, I'm always, look, you know, making sure, you know, I don't want to see anyone like being put in harm's way. So when I saw someone being like very, very scarily, verbally abused, like getting roared at, and I was like, oh my God, are they going to go over now and attack him? Like, I just was like, ah, lads, come on. And then like somebody else heard Shauna, my friend, screaming for help and like runs down and pulls him off. And like, there are so many good people, and it's like, that's what you have to remember when something like this happens. And that's what I've been, that's what I've learned. It's all that, it's so powerful. And just wanting the best for one another, like, and I know it's like, you know, we all want to happy, we all want to, but like, just treat people the way you want people to treat you.
Absolutely.
Like, even if you're not going to be the one that's stepping in and, you know, like, smile at someone.
Yeah.
That's like, just be a human.
Yeah.
And like, treat people with humanity and not punching bags.
And you know, before we started this, as we said off air, like, there's more good than bad in the world, isn't there?
There is more good than bad, because I did a good thing and someone else did a good thing. One person did a bad thing.
Exactly.
So it was like two good things at either end.
You stopped the verbal abuse, and then that
he stopped me from getting baited at it, like,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But like, it is, and there, do you know, like, there's always going to be, like, when you get a public platform, when you get into the public eye, there's going to be a little bit of hate. And I've noticed, like, one or two comments, I haven't even paid attention to them. But, like, under the one bad comment in the whole thing, there's, like, 50 people texting in, giving that one, that bad comment abuse, like, oh, no, you're wrong. So, like, I mean, there's so much more good than bad. And it's, like, focus on the good, because that's what, like, keeps me going right now. Like, if I was just focusing on what happened to me last Wednesday and what happened to me 2 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do this right now. I'm focusing on all the good people that deserve this change. Like, I'm focusing on all the people that, and all the amazing girls, like, that aren't, that don't have a voice today as well, like you were saying, Brenda, like, that, do you know, like, when I was standing up there in the Dáil on Tuesday, like, I didn't take that as a stand, like, as a clap for me. Like, I took that as, like, do you know, that's commemorating everyone. Like, you know, I'm just a voice for so many, you know, so many male victims, female victims, like, all victims. It's been an amazing response. Like, I've had so many people come forward with, like, horror stories that, you know, are so hard. Do you know, like, but they're like, I've never been able to tell anyone this before. And, like, after you just, like, bearing your soul and just going out there and leaving no stones unturned and just going and going and talking and just being yourself and being true to you, and they're like, they're able to, like, kind of lessen that load for themselves and share it. And, like, you know, and then there's, like, I read on Monday, there was in the Irish Times that, like, this soldier in the Navy, he walked free there like a year or two ago for, you know, some violent crime. And his victim came forward there on Sunday saying that actually that sentence wasn't okay either. And like, this is what I want to happen. Like, this is what needs to happen. This, like, people coming forward being like, actually this sentence, actually, you know, and then it's like, oh my God, this is a huge issue. This isn't just one girl, like, because it's not.
Yeah, and Natasha, I'll said it already and I'll say again, you're a powerhouse. true inspiration. And you're off now for a you're doing a protest in Cork City this evening, 6 o'clock this evening. But before you go, I have one question, all right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to win, Cork or Limerick, in 2 weeks' time?
Honestly, I hope Cork do, because the Limerick ones, oh my gosh, they walk around like gods.
You hear her first. Brilliant.